so glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
Psalms 107, if you're there, say amen. Amen. If you're not there, you probably ain't going to be able to find it. It's in the middle of your Bible. Then the other side is in your Bible. Psalms 107. Starting with verse 23. Now, I'm reading from the NIV, the Nearly Inspired Version. I'm just kidding, Don't be offended. There'll be plenty of other times. Verse 23 says, others went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. Some of us can relate. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunk men. They were at their wits' end. Ever been there? Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm. And it grew calm. Not immediately, but it grew calm. And I love this next passage. And he guided them to their desired haven. He guided them to their desired haven. Glory to God. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. Father, I praise you and I give you thanks and glory for all that you have done in my life and in our lives. Thank you, Lord. I don't know how to correctly articulate, but thank you for your protection, and thank you for your grace over our county and over our families and over our surrounding, God. And I know that those others have been hit hard, and God, we're going to be your hands and feet trying to help minister to those in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you about when the storms of life are raging. I've been pastoring now for 27 years. I started when I was 6. I've been pastoring for 27 years now, and I've been involved in ministry for longer than that. I became a worship leader real quickly before I even knew what a worship leader was. And I know a lot of people who were either studying to go into ministry or who have went into ministry. And as I look back over the span of time of my 28 years, that I look at some of these that are no longer in ministry, and some are even no longer serving God. They're no longer walking with God, and I begin to wonder, how can the fire that burned so bright in us and in their hearts back then could have been snuffed out in just a relatively short amount of time? But it happens. It happens in different ways. It happens for a number of reasons. I've noticed, though, that most of the time when people stop walking with the Lord, because it's usually because of some type of a storm. Some type of a storm came in and broke their mast, tore their sails, battered their ship, and they just wasn't able to recover from it for whatever reason. I've known people who've given up on God because of someone close to them passed away. I know people who have given up on God because they got discouraged because of church, or somebody in the church caused them to be upset or whatever, and they gave up on God and their walk with God because of somebody. I've known people who've given up on God because that their marriage crumbled. Some, they had some kind of misaligned notion of what being saved or what being a Christian really meant, and they gave up on God. And Paul talks about this in Galatians chapter 5, verse 7, when he says, and I'm reading from the God's Word version, says, "You were doing so well, who stopped you from being influenced by the truth?" The King James Version reads, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder thee?" What happened? What happened? You were doing so good. What happened? And as a pastor, and I've been at this church for 23, next month will be 24 years that I've been here, and I've seen people, if everybody that still attended this church, not that went here, that went to somebody else's church, I can handle that. And, you know, it may hurt, but I'm okay if you leave this church and go to another church, because I know everybody can't go to the cool church. I'm kidding, kind of. But what really gets me is when people leave this church and go to no church. What gets me is those who have had an experience with God, but yet now they are no longer walking in fellowship with God. That's what gets me. You did run well. Who did hinder you? The underlying misconception is that life is supposed to be easy. The underlying misconception is that if you come to know Jesus, then everything's going to work out. It's all going to be good. No, baby, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, "In this life you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world." He said, I'm not going to leave you with the peace that comes from this world. I'm going to leave you with a supernatural peace that comes from me." But there is nothing in the Bible that supports the idea that life is supposed to be easy. So if you will allow me to, in the first section of this message, I want to look at what you need to know about the storms of life. And then in the second section, hopefully I'll have time, we'll look at what you need to do about the storms of life. So let's look at it. What you need to know about the storms of life. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you know, if I could have got my hands on a meteorologist around Sunday afternoon, I might have choked one. I don't know if y'all noticed, they just started making stuff up. They were talking so long, they just started just saying whatever. Back to you. No, back to you. No, I don't have anything else to say. Back to you. Well, here's the reality of it. We don't know where the storm's going. That's what you needed to go. Hunker down. We don't know what's going on. We'll let you know. I'll tell you what, when you start getting wind 70 miles an hour, you know you're in the eye of it. That's what they should have said. And I'm not bashing them. They did a great job, you know, but they got to, you know. But how many did catch them just making up stuff? Yeah. Well, you know, this hurricane is because of climate change. Well, it's the first one this big. We've had 100-something. Don't get me started. But anyway, what you need to know about the storms. Number one is this. Storms happen to everybody. They happen to everyone. They happen to the saved, the unsaved. They happen to the harlot and the non-harlot. They happen to the drug addict and the non-drug addict. Let me ask you, I don't want to ask you because, you know, but if you're in this place and you could raise your hand and say, "I've never been through any kind of a storm in my life," it's either because you're too, or you're too stupid to know you've been in a storm. Don't get offended. But that's the truth, because all of us have gone through a storm. And, you know, we just went through Irma, but that's not just the storm I'm talking about. The storms of life. All of us have had issues and all of us have had storms in our life. On an intellectual level, we all know this to be true. We all know that everybody goes through storms. Yet, when we're hit by a storm, our reaction is often, this shouldn't be happening to me. You ever said it? I'll put my hand up first. Why me? This shouldn't be happening to me. I'm a child of God. Lord, do you forget I'm the pastor over there, church? Anybody ever use your title to get God's attention? I'm the pastor. I never do that with God because he knows. Sometimes I want him to forget I'm the pastor. Because sometimes he requires more out of the pastor. But we say things like, oh, I know you never said this. I don't deserve this. But how many of us at the same level when good things happen that we also with the same passion go, I don't deserve this. Now many of us go, well, it's about time somebody recognized my greatness. It's about time, God, I thought you forgot who I was. But that may be true, but it is a fact of life that we all endure an occasional storm. Matthew 5:45 says this, God causes his son to rise on the evil and the good and send rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. It rains on the righteous and the unrighteous. It rains on the sinner and the saint. It rains on those who are churched and those who are unchurched. If you're in a rainstorm without an umbrella, you're going to get wet. I don't care who you are. None of us are strangers to rain. We all have endured storms of life. For years, though, maybe you've never done this, but for years, I've tried to defy the principle that everybody has storms. What do you mean? I tried to defy it by, I kept thinking if I organize my life in a certain way, if I could just get my income to a certain level, if I could just get a handle on my relationships, if I could just get my schedule under control, there would be no more storms. It doesn't work that way. The rain falls on everyone, and it doesn't matter who you are. Well, then, Pastor, what's the use? Well, maybe you forgot I said if you're in the rain without an umbrella. See, if you have an umbrella, that if it's a bad storm, you're still going to get wet. But there's some parts that are still going to stay dry. I could preach that for a little while, but let me move on a little bit. Obviously, some storms that we face are the result of sinfulness and our own, don't be upset, bad decisions, but many are not. You know, it's amazing to me. Some people go, well, what did I do to deserve this? You know, one of the things that I did, one of the hardest things that I did as a pastor is I delivered one of my church members to federal prison. Oh. Why? Because before he got saved, he was a drug trafficker. I'm not talking about just a couple of ounces. I mean, there are secret compartments in his truck. How do you know? Because I drove the truck while he was in prison. He told me, he said, Pastor, a truck needs to be drove. Would you drive it for me? I said, am I going to get shot? He goes, nope, everybody knows I'm in prison. I said, all right. He said, but there's a compartment here, and he told me where the compartments were. So I thought, that's kind of cool. I can hide a body there. But it was hard, but he never said, I don't deserve this. Here's what he did say. He said, Pastor, I wish I would have gotten saved before all of this had ever happened. But he looked at me and said, but Pastor, God will keep me, won't he? I said, absolutely. You hold on to his unchanging hand. The waters might get deep. The storms may rage. The winds may blow. But you hold on to his unchanging hand. Somehow, some way, you're going to come out the other side. You just keep holding to his unchanging hand. And you will. You might not come out unscathed, but you will come out the other side. And when you come out the other side, you won't be the same person that went into the storm this way. Hallelujah. So see, we've all faced situations in our life that has to be chalked up to our ancestry. Some we need to face that it is not our fault, and some we need to face it's our fault. Amen. Thank you. But here's the deal. Propensity is not necessarily destiny. Now, what do you mean? Well, listen. Try not to give the devil no due here now. But if there is a history of heart trouble all throughout your family, then that is a propensity. There's a probability, but it doesn't mean destiny. So you don't get out there, though, and treat your heart bad when you know that runs in your family. You do what you can and then look to God to do what you can't. So we've got to understand that sometimes trials come and it had nothing to do with you. Because I'm telling you that if I figured that one of you, just one of you, had that the Irma came because of you, you better not let me find you outside by yourself. Right? It's not your fault, and yet you have to endure the storm. All of us have been through that. Maybe you were raised in a home that wasn't really a home, that wasn't your fault, but you had to endure the consequences of that. Maybe you were abused, and it's not your fault, but yet you still had to endure that thing. But the first thing that you have to remember about the storm is that the storm happens to everyone at some point in time. Now, if it's your own bad behavior has caused the storm in your life, obviously, you need to change your behavior. See, Rex was the guy. Rex was the guy that went to prison. And he said, "Pastor, it was my behavior that got me here, but I'm not doing this anymore." I was like, good. And so if your behavior got you there, you need to change your behavior. But if it's not your fault, then you need to accept the fact that storms happen to everyone. The rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. But yet, if you will hold on to God, He will be your umbrella and He will get you through the storm. The second thing that you need to know about the storm is this, that pain doesn't last forever. Hallelujah. Pain doesn't last forever. I know some of you and I right now, maybe Brent and Courtney's thinking, and maybe Scott and Kim are thinking, oh, is this ever going to end? We don't have any electric. Listen, let me tell you something. I lost electric at my house, but I never lost power. Come on, somebody. Because as long as you've got Jesus, you've got power. I never lost power, but I might have lost electric. But sometimes when you're in the midst of that storm, you think, will it ever end? But I've come by to tell you, I don't care how bad the pain feels right now, doesn't matter how bad the pain is while you're in the midst of that storm, it will not last forever. Pain has a date on it that it's going to end in your life, and you need to go ahead and declare, I don't know when, I don't know where, but I know the pain will end, and I'm going to give God praise in the midst of whatever I might be going through right now. Pain will not last forever. If you're going through the storm of divorce right now, you need to remind yourself that it won't hurt this much forever. If you've lost a loved one, it won't hurt this much forever. Somebody said, well, you never get over somebody. Somebody passing away. You might not. I've lost a lot of folks in my life. I've lost some friends. I've lost family. And you don't get over it. But the pain is not as hard as it once was. Pain doesn't last forever. There may be damage to deal with. You may have to pick up the pieces and move on. You may have to rebuild your life. But the pain that is caused by the suddenness of the storm will not last forever. Hallelujah. The storm came. I don't know where you were when the storm came through here, but I was in my bedroom asleep. I slept through most of it. I woke up the next morning and went around and surveyed. My God, I had to preach right there. I just got a new message. I went around and surveyed the damage around my house. I didn't see anything damaged. I was like, come on. Hallelujah. A couple of limbs down, just little small branches. I'm like, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And then I came up to the church to check on it. We had a tree down. We kind of wanted that tree down anyway. But that tree was down. So I said, oh, we got to clean that up. I came in here. We got a few more leak spots that wasn't there before the storm. Had a little water over here, a lot of water in the back. But it's all right. You know, it was all good. Because here's what I said. We can clean this up. We can fix this. Look at somebody and say, we can fix this. You can get over what you're going through. You can fix it. Hallelujah. Let me move on, because I could preach. I might come back and preach that. And then there's another thing that you need to know about the storm. Man, I'm not even. I got a long way to go. So I may just have to give you this one and give you the other one next week. But let me go. Let me say this one. The other thing that you need to know about the storm is sometimes in the midst of the storm, God seems to be silent. In Mark chapter 4. You shut me down? You just didn't want to be a blister, did you? Now, I was pointing at where the water was. But you already, boy, he look at it. He's on the job. Now, come on back. I'm about done. Josh said, I think I've heard about enough of this. All right, so sometimes in the midst of the storm, God seems to be silent. In Mark chapter 4, there's a story about a storm. Jesus and his disciples were in a boat crossing the Sea of Galilee. And suddenly a huge storm arose, and the Bible calls it a furious squall. And it began to rock the boat. The waves were crashing against the vessel to the point that the Bible said it almost capsized. And the disciples were convinced that they were about to die. It was a ferocious storm, one translation. They all panicked. But here's what I want to get to. Where was Jesus in the middle of it all? Mark 4:38. He was asleep. I like what one translation said. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. I've never read that until I read that one translation. Asleep in the stern, but I never read on a cushion. And y'all know how my mind, I'm thinking one of them neck pillows. He was asleep on a cushion. I love that little detail that Mark put in there. In other words, while the disciples were staring death in the face, he was sleeping comfortably on a cushion. Of course, we know how the story ends. Jesus calmed the storm and made it safely to the other side of the sea. But that doesn't change the fact that in the midst of the storm, it seemed that he was unaware of the crisis. But where was he? He was there all the time. Let me give you a cold hard fact. There will be times in your life when it seems like God isn't paying attention to what is happening to you. I'm going to say that again. There will come times in your life that you feel like God is not paying attention to what's happening to you. Well, I know what he's doing to other people, but no, he doesn't paying attention to you. It seems that way. And there will be times when God, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but listen to me closely. There will be times when God is frustratingly silent. Y'all never get frustrated with God because you are such good Christians. But the rest of us, sometimes it's like, oh, God, just speak to me. Lord, just send me a text or something. Wouldn't that be so cool if you just got a text from God? Ronnie, this is God. Here's an email. Bing. But when we read the story of the disciples, during the time when God seemingly is silent, all you have to cling to is your faith. When we read the story of the disciples panicking in the midst of the storm, we tend to think, how foolish of them. You ever thought that? You ever read that and go, wow, Jesus was on their ship. Why were they upset? Why were they tripping out and wigging out? Why would they be afraid? Jesus was right there with them. Didn't they know that he would take care of them? And the same could be said about you and me. How foolish are we to be so afraid during crisis? I don't mean concerned, but afraid. I mean, I don't know if you were out and about right before the storm, but there was widespread panic. And I'm not saying we ought not be concerned, we ought not be prepared. But there was outright panic. Jesus is right here with us today. And it's not because we're gathered in the sanctuary. But he was right there Sunday. Last Sunday when we wasn't here. He was right there in your home. Especially if you've invited him there. If you've made a place for him to abide there. He was right there in your heart. Matter of fact, you might have been in somebody's home who's a heathen. He was still right there if you were there. Come on, somebody. Jesus is right here with us. Don't we know that he'll take care of us? He said in Hebrews 13:5 that I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Don't we know? Don't we know that he'll take care of us? It may seem that God is unaware of the crisis in our lives. But we have this promise otherwise that he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. We have his promise, and I'm going to close with this. We have his promise that he knows every detail of our lives, and he is with us every step of the way. Every step of the way. Would you stand to your feet tonight or today? God willing, next Sunday I'll preach the second part of this service, of this sermon. Or it might be Wednesday night. I don't know. So what do you need to know about the storm? Storm happens to everyone. But the pain don't last forever. And sometimes in the midst of the storm, God seems very silent, but he's always there. Let's take a moment. Could we just lift up our hands and sing this little old song? I exalt thee. I exalt.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.